Bibles to the Word of God in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And from 2 Kings, how God uses his people. And we won't reiterate that message, but then the Wednesday night following, we saw the second message, and this will be the third from that passage. God works in mysterious ways. Many times he works to me to show me the three parts, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And by instant, we have three precious young children up here singing for us this morning. And then, of course, God created man in his own image. We are in the image of God. We are a soul inhabited in the body with the spirit that God created along for God. We're going to preach along some of these lines this morning. And everything God made, just look at it. If God creates, got three parts. Look at the seed. Seed's got three parts. Look at a plant, three parts. And even look at the whole thing as we see, the sky and the earth and the water. Even look at water, H2O. And so God's got three parts, and there's three major emphases that God's put on my heart. First of all, we saw in Elisha that he was doing God's bidding, and of course his people had backslid at that particular time, God's people, but still his people. And today, God's people, they're not where they ought to be, including me, but we're still his people. So we have his word, and his word gives us the desires that he wants us to have if we will hear, if we will understand, if we won't be blinded to it. And so Elisha now has interceded to the king and said that God told me to tell you, O king, that the enemy, Syria, is have you trapped. All these plans that you've got made, there's a trap set up for you. So he would go relay it. And may I say that three times in God's word, three times, he tells that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't have time to get into that. But if you're not ignorant of it, you can make plans. You can let him help you make plans to divert, and don't let Satan attack you. We have his spirit. And so it finally came up to the king of Syria that who is in my army, who is in my castle that's going and telling Israel what to do? Because we set a plan, we set a trap, and they evaded. And one of them was a smart individual. He said, don't you know, there's a man called Elisha that knows what you're even saying in your bedroom. I mean, he's God's man. Now, you would think that if he knows that, so he set a trap. He said, well, we'll just go get this man. We'll get God out of the way. God can do what he wants to, but we can stop it. People still think that today. God's all powerful. So he said, Elisha, I want you to go ahead and just go about your normal business. I'll take care of you. And the king was blinded to the fact that God was going to speak to him and take care of him. So he led his army out there by night, and he had the people surrounded. We looked at this, and we're going to go farther. And Elisha and his servant, they were just there on the hillside with hundreds, no doubt, chariots, equipment of war, all ready to take care. And may I tell you today that the enemy, Satan, is God is all surrounded. Don't get all alarmed about it, because greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And so the young servant, he saw that, and he was blinded to the fact that God had already made some arrangements. So Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see what's really transpiring. So we looked at the thought that God intervenes. God knows everything that's going on. He's got it all planned out from the start to the finish. We're his. We belong to him. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And all we need to do is have faith and trust that he gives us to receive it, to walk therein. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. So he opened his eyes, and their chariot around him was chariots of fire. Now, you can choose the side you want to, but I'd rather be on God's side with the chariots of fire than man's implements of war that he's got a plan against us. And now the servant's eyes was open, and God took care of business. The second message God emphasized to me about prayer. Two times in this scripture, Elisha prayed. First time he prayed was, God, open the servant's eyes to let him see that you've got it all in, under control. And the thought is that if we could open their eyes and see and have enough faith to believe and understand that we're his, we belong to him, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, Satan has blinded eyes of a lot of people, and a lot of people's eyes are blinded in faith. Now, this is a servant. He's a good man, a good young man. But he doesn't have the faith to believe that God's going to take care of everything. So the first prayer was, open our eyes, your people's eyes, to see and understand and know that you are in control. Completely, 100%, all the time. I belong to you, and you'll take care of all my needs. But the second prayer he prayed was, Lord, blind those enemies, because they're still out here. He didn't say kill them. He said blind them. And so they were blinded, and he led them to Samaria. They were looking for him, Elisha, and he said, no, he's not here. Follow me. And then the third thing that intrigued me that God put on my heart is this thing about blindness. God first said to God, Lord, I pray that you'll open my servant's eyes that he may see. He's blind to the things you're doing. And we're blind a lot of times to what God's doing in their life. And then he said, blind the eyes of those people that's against you so they can't occupy or hurt what you're doing. So this morning we're going to look at the word blindness, blind or blinded. Three different applications. Notice three every time God does anything in my life and most of people's life is three. So first of all, I want to go back to the very first time God used this word blindness. Now remember, we were born in sin and depravity because Adam, our forefather, sold us out. He sinned, did which God told him not to do. And so we're all born in sin, shaping in iniquity. And remember now, there's three different things about blindness. First of all, there's three ways to be blind. We're going to look at those. God can blind the eyes. And we're told that Satan blinds the eyes. And then lastly, you can blind your own eyes. We're going to also look this morning, Lord willing, at there's different kinds of blindness. There's many kinds of blindness. There's blindness in your eyesight. There's blindness in your reason, your ability to reason. And God can do that, or you can do that, or Satan can do that if you permit him to do it. And then there's blindness of spirit. There is different degrees of that. So let's go to God's Word and let him show us this morning. The best commentary on any subject is the Bible itself. Really all we need. So let's go to the first time God uses this. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 11, the first time he uses blindness, blinded or blind, any word, and he uses it to show us. And he does everything for a reason, multiple reasons. Sometimes we'll just understand a little of it. But this particular time, the Bible says, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. This, of course, was when Lot was in Sodom, and two angels, goes to Lot's house in Sodom and says, God's going to destroy this place. And if God said he's going to do it, and the only recourse you've got, Lot, is to get out, you and your family, because God's going to spare us. A lot of taps there because Satan is going to come, and the Antichrist is going to rule, but good news, the Lord's going to come and take away the bride of Christ. And Lot, you're a righteous man. They don't understand how he was, but God said he was. The righteous soul was vexed daily by the conversation that he was there. But yet he chose to take his family down there. And we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And there's sin on every hand. But at the same time, God is going to take the church, the born again, out of this world. He's going to come and get us. And he's going to destroy this outfit, going through that tribulation period of 7 years, but not with the church. And this is a picture of that also. Lot, get your family out. Well, the men of the city, the homosexual of the city, saw those two angels that looked like men, of course, and they desired them that they could have an affair with them, and they were trying to, and Lot took them in his house because he He realizes this is God's messengers. The men of the city, the wicked people, they were blinded in sin. Remember what God says about that? If you keep going that long in that lifestyle, he will turn you over to a reprobate mind. Now, once God turns you over to a reprobate mind, that means you're blind to the things of God. All you can see is things of the world. So that's one type of blindness that God turns them over to. But now we see it wasn't complete blindness because they could still see the house, but they couldn't understand and they couldn't get in. So God has degrees of blindness. There's a blindness of their spirit, their understanding. They could not comprehend that these were messages from God. Lot said, leave them alone. These are guests. They couldn't reason. They were blind to reason. God said, if you go this lifestyle and you do this thing, I'll blind you to that. So we see the first time God mentions it is that their eyes are blinded because of their own sins. Sins that they could have avoided. And they're trying to, what are they trying to do? They're trying to get to God. What's the world doing today? And not only the people that are doing it, but the sympathizers. Millions of people anymore worldwide are sympathetic to that. Why? Because it seems as though there's a war against good and evil. We saw that. We saw that a couple of Sunday nights ago when Joseph's brothers, 10 of them, had decided that we're going to take Joseph down and sell him into slavery. And they tried to tell their father that he was probably dead already because they had taken his coat that Joseph had given him. They had dipped it in blood and says, is this Joseph's coat? They deceived him. And their hearts were deceived. They were blind to the things of God because Joseph had been prophesying about what God's going to do. And to them, jealousy. They didn't want to hear anything of it. But remember what God said through Joseph later on after they were found out? He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So what we're wanting to understand this morning and every other morning of our life and every day, that God means things for good, and we're blinded to that. The children of Israel were blinded to the fact that they were living in sin, but God spoke to Elisha, and he told them that I still care for you. I still want to protect you. And the people of Syria, of course, they were blind to it, didn't understand. And even knowing that God was alive and knowing that Elisha was his servant, did they not know and understand that God would take care of Elisha? No, they did not. Why? They were blinded to it. But the thought this morning is God is in control of my life and yours. Joseph, he was a perfect gentleman all those times when he was in prison, when he was in Potiphar's house, when he was lied against. He was still true to God. He was not blinded to the fact that God is in control of my life. Sold into slavery, put into prison, and God arranges that. He allows that. He orchestrates that. Your life and mine is the same. God's, and we don't see that. We're blinded to the fact. Even in North Carolina right now, businesses are pulling out, so-called celebrities are pulling out. And sometimes we're blind to the fact that God meant it for good. What's bad in not letting more of those sympathizers come down here and try to change the hearts of our children? I don't see anything bad. God means it for good, folks. God is in control of every situation that's going on. I smile at it. I laugh at it. Why? God says, he's got a sense of humor too. God says, when your calamity comes, you won't repent. You won't go my way. I'll laugh when your calamity comes. So we ought to have our minds on him. And if we do, we won't be so worried about the little things that's taking place in the state of North Carolina or worldwide because God has got it all fixed. They mean it for evil. God means it for good. I can go along with that. I can understand that. So now these people, they were going to have that affair with those two angels. But God meant it for good, remember, because God did get Lot and his two daughters out, just like he said he would. If you'll submit to me, if you'll follow me, I'll remove you. I won't let you go through all this destruction. It's going to come your way. And so now God did destroy the city. He said he would and he did. Second of all, let's look a bit farther on about the state of blindness. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, 18, of course, the prayer was, smite this people with blindness. Why? Because their reason had already been blinded. They couldn't reason the fact that God does speak to Elisha, and God is in control of Israel's life, and they're blind to it. The world's blind, and even the servant was blind, but God opened his eyes that he could see. Let's go a bit farther in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We look at the state of Israel today, and God loves that nation. He always has. Apple of his eye. But yet, because they rejected Christ, he blinded their eyes. But Christ Jesus came, and so God meant it for good for you and I, the Gentiles, because they were cut off, we were grafted in. They're still blind to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, but God has opened their eyes that we can see and believe. God is in control. He knows what he's doing. I don't question. I don't even think about question anything God's ever done or is doing. Notice three other things. Everything's three. There is the past, and thank God there is the present. Can't do anything about the past except repent and feel sorry that I haven't done all I can. But presently, I can be in the will of God. Why? Because he permits me to come boldly to the throne of grace, to trust in him, to convey to him all my mistakes and ask his help that I can get through this present day, this present life. But thank God there's a third, there's a future. Future looks pretty bright to me. It don't look too bright down here. Why? Because your eyes are blinded. Our mind is sometimes blinded that thinks, you know, well, Satan's in control. No, no, no. We saw that God is in control, and we saw how Satan has blinded these people's eyes that they can't see. Why? Because they wouldn't go the way of God, and they blind their own eyes. Let's look at another example how Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. Let's turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 17. We've seen how Satan can blind the eyes through following him, the lust of the eye and the pride of life. We've seen how man can blind his own eyes. And we'll read more scripture for that after a while. But let's see how Jesus opens the eyes. It's a miracle. It's a wonderful thing. Mark chapter 8 verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread, but perceive ye not, neither understand, have ye your heart yet hardened? Have an eyes, see ye not? And have an ears, hear ye not? And do not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said to him, 12. I can imagine. Here they are worried about the next meal, the next thing. When he's already done that miracle of the 12 loaves and he feeds the multitude of 5,000, just a little while has gone by, and he shows you time and time again, I'm in control. I'm the bread of life. I'll take care of all your needs. And he says to them, how could you forget? And they even ask a question, just how many baskets did you take up? 12. And surely the reason would come back a little bit. Now this is his people. He's talking to his disciples. You got more, you took up more than you had to start with. Now, is that God or what? Look back in your own life, the things God's done for you, how he's kept you from wrecks and diseases, and he's protected us. How soon our eyes get blinded. Are your eyes blinded? Are your ears deaf that you cannot see? We blind our own eyes because of the lack of faith we have. He gives us a faith. We have to use it. He gives us enough sense to use the faith to know. Elisha didn't have any worries that day when the armies were there and he saw the armies. I don't know if he actually saw the chariots afar or not at the time. He just knew that God had provided. See, faith is the substance of things unseen. evidence of things not seen. God has given us the desires of heart, knowing that he's going to take care of everything, and we don't have to see with our eyes everything that's going on, but we know, as a faith lets us know, it's okay. That's what he wants us to learn. So he opens the servant's eyes that he can see what's really there. And Jesus is telling the disciples, have you no remembrance? Don't you remember who I am, what I've done, what I am doing, what I will do? I'm God. And they don't remember. And to illustrate, Father, he keeps this in display. Verse 20. And when the seven among 4,000s, how many baskets full of fragments take ye up? And they said, seven. Even the next miracle. You forgot the first one. Surely you wouldn't forget the second one. They had. But then when it was mentioned to them, they remembered. Sometimes God has to let us go through something so we will remember. The eyes are faith, so our eyes won't be dim. And he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? And I bet he does that with me and perhaps you. He's questioning them. Why don't you understand? How come you have let Satan blind your eyes, or you've blind your own eyes? You don't see, you don't understand. It's more than a physical blindness. It's a spiritual blindness. It's a hardening of your heart that you just can't accept the fact that God is in control and will be in control and has got everything under his hand and is for my good and your good. How many times do we have to learn that? Fortunately, when we were in school, we didn't have to have a, you know, second grade or first grade over and over and over. A 2 times 2 is 4 and 4 times 4 is 16. And you learn that once. If a teacher had had to spend all the time revisiting multiplication or additions or things, we'd never got to where we are, and we still aren't far. But in my spiritual life, God keeps doing these things and let me know. Many times he has spoken to me and I even have a thought. And he speaks so clearly to my mind. Is it audibly? It's a lot clearer than audibly. See, I wear a hearing aid. And if you say something, I may get confused. And you don't understand everything spoken to you either. But I'm telling you, when God speaks to your heart, there is no clarification needed. He knows me. He lives in my heart. And he tells us, why don't you understand that I'm in control of your life? This thing of blindness need not be to a child of God, because we ought to be able to see the faith that he has given us without wavering, without going sideways. But he continues in verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. See, the disciples' eyes were blind to faith. And he's going to use an earthly illustration, earthly example to let them understand about blindness. He does that to you. He does that to me. Because spiritually you can't see it. You can't understand that. But he'll use a physical thing. So he continues. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. See, the blind man was physically blind, which represents a sinness in the world. And when you were born and I was born, I was spiritually blind. And I would have remained so except for one thing. He took his hand and put it on me. That's called conviction. Conviction showed me I was blind. Now, the blind man didn't have to be told he was blind. And I submit to you, you will never know the ways of God until you know that you're blind, that you're a sinner. A lot of people think they're good and they don't need salvation. You'll never get saved until you know you're lost and undone in your sins. And now, remember Elisha prayed and said, Lord, strike these people with blindness, these Syrians. And they did. And then they knew they were blind, but probably not completely blind, because they followed him all the way from Dothan to Samaria, which was a long pathway. Now, there's a type of blindness, remember, that I can see the auditorium I might see the pews, but I can't see details. I don't know that. But now we're going to use that illustration Jesus uses right here. What a beautiful illustration. He's already touched him. He's already put the clay on him. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. In other words, I can see, but not in detail. That's the way faith is. You know he's God. You remember sometimes, hopefully all the time, but we don't, how he's brought you out of sin. He's saved your family. He's given you health. He's given you everything you've got. All good and perfect gifts come from him. We know that. But we're partially blind. The man had been touched by Jesus. Do you see? Yeah, I see men walking as trees. Need another touch. I'm not talking about two plans of salvation. I'm talking about a life that we are blind in our faith a lot of times. We're weary. We're undone in their faith. But keep reading. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. When he looked to him, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. So we understand and realize that blindness in part, Israel, because they wouldn't believe in Messiah, that Jesus was Son of God. Blindness to a saved person, in part because you don't recognize, you don't understand that he's in control of your life, and all you have to do is submit to him, ask forgiveness of all your sins, and let him lead you and guide you, because everything else will be taken care of. We're blind to that a lot. But the only way it's going to happen is stay in the Word of God and let the hand of God be upon us, and we'll start seeing. Thirdly and lastly, let's look at the book of Revelations. Chapter 3, verse 17. Because I saith, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, the church and a lot of people today think we've got all we need. You know, we got some money in our pockets and clothes on her back and shoes on her feet and enough food in the house for a few days and a job and all this stuff. And we think we need nothing. We're blind to the fact that we're needy people. That everything we have is because of him, and without him we wouldn't have anything. So we're not thankful for it. We're blind to the fact that he requires something out of our life when you get saved. You're a servant. Servants have no ability to tell the master where they're going, how they're doing, what you're going to do. We're blind to that fact for the most part. He has a way of opening their eyes because he can make things happen in their life that we'll understand. No, we're needy people. So these people, he said, now, my way of looking at things is different than your ways. Surely you're going to agree with me on this. That God looks at it the way it really is. And even Paul says, now we look through a glass darkly. By faith, we see that Christ Jesus died for our sins, arose, ascended, came back, and took that blood to the mercy seat and came down and touched me and illuminated my mind and gave me faith to believe that he had died for my sins, and all I needed to do was ask forgiveness, and he was faithful and just to forgive me my sins. I know all that. But at the same time, I get blinded to the fact that he is the only one that can direct my path. And I get blinded to the fact that sometimes, well, the enemy, they're doing this and they're doing that. God gives us warning in his word. He told Israel, because Israel, enemy's got this plan for you. Now, he could have said easily, well, go ahead and go your way. I'll watch your back. He didn't say that. He gave them enough sense and enough direction to know, hey, if you're going this way and the enemy's going to cut you off, do something about it. And God a lot of times warns us. He gives us illustrations to know that the enemy's going to do a certain thing to us. And if we'll just believe God and listen to him, he'll divert us around that situation. I've heard, and you have too, sometimes you're going somewhere and you might forget something. And you go back home and say, oh, I'm detained 10 minutes. Well, that detained 10 minutes may have spared your life somewhere up the road. So if just trust him like that and believe, and you can put it to forgetfulness if you want to, and that may be true. But remember, God is in charge of our life. And sometimes we're blinded to that. We moan and we fuss, but he said, I'm looking at it the way it really is. And he says, we're wretched. We're blind to the things of God like we ought to be. Not like we ought to be for sure. But God, who is rich in mercy. Ephesians 4:18. Please come to the piano and play something softly on the organ, if you will. Get ready for the altar call. Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. We saw very clearly that Satan blinds the eyes of people. Jesus says, people won't come to me because Satan's got your eyes blinded. And we know Jesus is the only one that can open those eyes. And here we see that people keep lingering in their sins, going their own way and won't ask forgiveness. The scripture just said they blind their own eyes. And a lot of people are walking around blind, not physically, worse than that, much worse than that, spiritually blind, and they don't know they're lost, and they don't know they need a Savior. Would you stand? Your head's bowed. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have shown us through your word that we're born blind. Blind to the things of God. But once we realize that and you convict us of our sins, and then we can see by the faith you gave us that we are lost and can't do a thing about it. But your touch, looking to you, look up to see you in their spiritual mind and understanding and realize that you paid the price at Calvary. You're all we need. And we say, Father, heal my blindness. Heal my sin-sick heart. We thank you that has transpired in the past in many of our lives. But right now in the present, there's no doubt that there's some here. You're looking at hearts and revealing to their hearts. That's your job. You said you would. I know you are. That they're still in sin. Don't understand. Don't know it. But you reveal to them. And they know that they know they need a Savior. And I pray, Father, that they'll use that touch, that illumination that you've given them, that will cause them to look to you and live. And Father, forgive us that are saved, how we're blinded to the things of God so much, weary and threatening, thinking we're self-sufficient. Oh God, help us. Forgive us. Cleanse us from all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Thanksgiving. Amen. Whatever God's spoken to you this morning, bow your heads. God's touching you. I don't do this very often, but if God says do it, I will do it. No one's looking, please. If you're here this morning and you know that you know, you're still blinded in your sin and you haven't repented, but you would like to, would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. God sees, God knows. Lord Jesus, we pray. The first step is being blinded. That's where we were at birth. But the second step is up to you to show us we're blinded and help us see through that blindness to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your part. The third part's up to us. Will we receive that salvation? And if we refuse it, we get darker and darker in sin. Keep lingering in sin. You promised that convict us. And that's your job and you will. But once we refuse it, then the blindness we have initiated. And Father, I pray that that will not be the case with anyone here this morning. That they will not leave this place saying, I'm in my sin and wish not to do anything about it right now. Father, help them, I pray, to receive the atonement from their sins that only you can give. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we humbly pray. Amen.